Good to see you in the house of the Lord today. What an honor it is to worship together, to pray together, to love on each other, and enjoy the presence of the Lord. Happy birthday, Pastor Eddie. We love you and appreciate you. Thank God for you every day. All that you do here in the School of Ministry, as well as other areas of the work here at CFTN. He does a lot of behind the scenes stuff that makes the rest of us look good. So we love him and appreciate him. Amen. All right. I won't ask him how old he is. He looks about 22. All right, it's an honor to be here this morning and to be able to share the word of the Lord with you. I apologize for my nasal voice. I've never had allergies like I've had allergies this year, like everybody else. So you'll just have to endure, and it might be bothering me more than it is you. Title of my message this morning is A Season of Accelerated Transitions. We're witnessing the beginning of a new spiritual awakening in America. Pastor prophesied over it that it was coming. It's not coming, it is here. It's happening. It's happening all around the world. We have Pastor Maiden is part of that movement as he's traveling the world and experiencing the presence of God and seeing this movement firsthand throughout different places in the world. You say, well, it hasn't hit me yet. Well, get ready. It's going to be accelerated transition. It's going to come quickly. But we have to prepare ourselves for it. It doesn't just happen. There has to be a preparation for it. And that's what I want to speak to this morning, of how that we prepare ourselves for such a transition. If you're looking for that, then I've got some tools for you today that I believe will help you in this transitional period. A revival of spiritual awakening never happens in the place of status quo. You have to get out of your comfort zone. It's never going to happen in the land of status quo. What is the land of status quo? Status quo is a place that protects the past rather than engaging in the present. It's always about keeping things the way they have always been. Many of us, most of us, grew up in a system that is susceptible to becoming a place of status quo, a place where we're comfortable, meaning the place that we know best. We learn how to navigate through it, through every system, if it's our family, our workplace, our church, our educational institution, whatever it is, we learn how to function and be accepted in that place. And it becomes status quo. It doesn't mean it's healthy, it just means it's familiar. It doesn't mean that it's going to help you grow, it just means it helps you be accepted. So we tend to conform to this place of status quo. People in the land of status quo talk about change. They don't really want change, they just want things to get better. Can I tell you this morning that better is the enemy of transformation? God is not just interested in you becoming a better version of yourself. He wants you to be transformed into His image. That is the work of the cross of Calvary, making it possible that we could come into His image. So the land of status quo is comprised of people who have learned to function in a particular way. The system is adapted to a set of patterns, beliefs, thoughts, behaviors, values, and emotions that dictate how they view the world and how the world views them. It's normal for people to become compliant or conform to the land of status quo because it is a place of conditional acceptance. You keep our rules, you get to be in our club. Doesn't matter if it's a family, educational system, the government, church world, whatever. So in this place, identity is by association. We don't have an individual identity. In fact, in the land of status quo, individual identity is looked upon as wrong, is frowned on. And we'll talk more about that here in a moment. In this place, acceptance is conditional, and it's conditional love. It has its own language. The language of the land of status quo is, don't rock the boat. This is the way we've always done it. You can't trust anyone outside of our system. If you leave our system, you won't survive. If you leave, you'll lose your inheritance. If you leave, you will crush your mother, your father. Many of you have probably heard these and even more. You get the idea. These groups use fear and shame to keep members from leaving. Such statements as, you're rebellious. You're a sinner if you leave here. Many of you have even shared this with me here at CFTN, that you've come from other churches and told that if you left the church, that church, you were going to go to hell. You should be ashamed of yourself for thinking of leaving or thinking of doing things differently. And here's one of the famous statements for people that try to control you. After all I have done for you. Sounds like some of you have heard that. You are ungrateful. Who do you think you are, trying to be better than who we are? Some of you heard me share this part of my testimony. I was in a denomination for many, many years, served in there, had a great season. It wasn't bad. It was just status quo. In 2007, I had a dream. I had been miserable. I had a great church. I had a great staff. Things were going good, but it was boring. I was miserable and trying to look like I was happy. Have you ever tried that? Be miserable and try to look like you're happy? Even my youngest daughter came in one day and said, Dad, what's wrong with you? You never have to wonder what my youngest daughter's thinking. She'll pretty well tell you. And I said, well, there's nothing wrong with me. She said, well, you're miserable, and I know it, and everybody else knows it. What's going on? I said, well, I don't really know. I'm trying to figure it out. You're right, but I don't know what it is. So right after that, I had this dream, night dream. I awoke, but I had this dream of an aquarium. And I was the goldfish in the aquarium. And I was bumping my nose against the glass, wondering what was on the other side of the glass. But I wasn't able to get out of the aquarium. I was stuck. Some of you may feel stuck in your world. I was stuck in my world. I had that dream during the week, maybe a Wednesday night or a Thursday night. Came Sunday morning, I came to church just like I always did, ready to preach, share the word. Good friend of ours, in fact, they attend church here now, Gary and Joyce Cox, some of you know them. Joyce met me in the foyer of the church that morning, and she said, "Pastor, I had the funniest dream about you last night." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yes. I dreamed that you were in an aquarium, and you were bumping your nose against the glass in the aquarium. And she said, somebody took a hammer and smashed the aquarium. And you were laying out on the floor, flopping around like a fish does when it's out of water." She was laughing. I said, "Joyce, that's not funny. You're messing with my life here. You're messing with status quo. You're messing with my comfortable world. You're messing with things that I don't even know what to do with." Later, I told her about my side of the dream and how that her prophetic dream was the thing that accelerated my transition. Now, I thought I was in pretty good shape. I owned several pieces of property at that time. I thought my retirement was pretty secure. Thought things were going to go well. I resigned in 2007, my church that paid me very well, gave me a good living, great staff. I didn't have to do much if I didn't want to do much. But I decided, okay, I got to take the leap out of the aquarium into the deep blue sea. Had no idea what that was going to look like. Didn't know what the experience was going to be. In fact, I had a couple of questions for God. One was, why now? I was 65 years old. I'm too old to do this. And God was quick to answer that question. He said, "Because you didn't do it 10 years ago when I told you to." Hate it when God has such quick answers. So I resigned. They threw me a big retirement party. It was great. Great experience. 2007. I thought, okay, God, I'll find out what you want next. And then came 2008. Anybody remember 2008? Every piece of property I lost. 90% of my retirement was down the drain. I'm out of my aquarium flopping around. I don't know who I am. You see, when you get out of your status quo, you lose your identity by association, and you start finding out who you really are. You never know who you really are in status quo. But when you get out of status quo, friend, you'll get on your face and you'll start finding out who you are. You'll start crying out to God. You'll start wanting to hear from God. Who am I? It was during that period of time, as I stepped out of there, and that youngest daughter of mine, she had attended a service at CFTN over on 19th Avenue. And she told me, she said, "Dad, you need to visit that church." I said to her, "That's an independent church. I don't go to those kind of churches." When you come out of status quo, you say some dumb things. I said, "I don't go to those kind of churches. I don't trust them. What I found out is they don't trust us either." Hang on with me here for a moment, because I want to tell you something. My daughter kept persisting. She's kin to that woman in the Bible that kept going to the judge and kept persisting and persisting and persisting and persisting till finally he said, give her what she wants so she'll shut up. So I told Sharon, I said, let's just go so she'll shut up about us going. So we got ourselves together, and I repented that I was going to go to visit an independent church. The worship was great, just like it always is. The word was rich, just like it always is. I told Sharon on the way home, I said, you know, I kind of liked it. I know I'm not supposed to like it, but I liked it. So I said, let's just visit one more Sunday. So that was in the fall, or late winter of 2008. And so I said, let's just go another Sunday. And we went another Sunday, and we went another Sunday, and we went another Sunday. And here I am 15 years later, still doing another Sunday. My time at CFTN has been one of the richest experiences of my life, and I value it above everything else. Not that the rest of my life was bad, but let me tell you, when you get out of status quo into the deep blue sea, you find things you never knew existed. You find parts of God you didn't know even was there. You find things that are beyond your experience. That's how you have an accelerated transition. You move from status quo to the wilderness experience, and it's there that you start discovering who God is in a new dimension. Stay with me for a moment. When you're out of that place, see, when I was in my denomination, I had traveled the world. I did conferences, continuing education training for pastors. I did conferences in many different parts of the world, and everybody knew me. If you didn't know me personally, you would have at least heard my name. When I got out of my aquarium, nobody knew me. I felt like I was totally lost. No identity. Came to CFTN, people at CFTN didn't know me. So I began to feel like I was a nobody, had no identity. I would lay on my floor and cry and seek God and say, God, who am I? Where am I? What's going to happen to me? Am I of no value anymore? Am I nothing? And I would pray the lyrics of the song, O gentle Savior, do not pass me by. While on others thou art calling, don't pass me by. I've got the lyrics all mixed up, but you got the idea. So I was in a hidden place. Let me tell you something. Don't despise the hidden place. God does things in the hidden place. He plants seeds, as Pastor Eddie was talking about. He plants seeds in the hidden place. It's there that he starts planting seeds. Just about everything I teach today, whether it's in the School of Ministry, the classes that I take in life, you might take in Life Impact, everything I do today was birthed in that hidden place. Let me tell you, God, if you feel like nobody knows you, you feel like you lost your identity, you're in a place where God is planting seeds in you that's going to accelerate a transition to a new place in Jesus Christ. Go ahead, give him a great big praise offering this morning. here's some requirements for acceleration, for your transition. Stop telling God why he can't use you. Moses had had a tremendous experience. He had just had his experience at the burning bush, the bush that was not consumed. The miracle was not that the bush was on fire. The miracle was that the bush was not being consumed. And he had this tremendous experience. God took a natural phenomenon, combustion of the bush, but kept it from being consumed. Let me tell you, you might be in the fire, but God is not going to allow you to be consumed. You might be in the midst of your trial, but God's not going to allow you to be consumed. You might feel like the heat is on, but God is not. You're going to come out of the fire, and you're going to be exactly what God wants you to be. Then he tells Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And he said, who am I? Moses said, who am I that they're going to listen to me? I'm a nobody. I've been on the backside of the desert for 40 years. Nobody knows me. Nobody's going to listen to me. It's the wrong question. The question is not, who are you? The question is, who is he? Who shall I say sent me? And he said, tell them I am sent you. The God, the I am, the eternal. You see, we're not doing this stuff on our own. We're doing it because God and what he's done for us and who he is, not who we are. So we have to quit telling God why he can't use us. Can I just say something this morning? Quit telling God why he can't save you. Some of you want to be saved. You want to come to the Lord, but you think you've been too bad. Your history is too negative. Your sins are too great. Let me tell you, your sins are not greater than his sacrifice. Your sins are not greater than his sacrifice. He paid it all that you and I might have a great experience in him. When you say, I'm not good enough, I don't have enough education, I'm not holy enough, I've made too many mistakes, you're making it all about you instead of all about him. You can turn it around this morning and have an accelerated transition by just saying yes to Jesus. Whatever it is he's asking of you, just say yes to him today. You can turn things around right now. Give him a great big praise offering this morning. Moses is still focused on his inadequacy. God said to him in Exodus 4:2, what do you have in your hand? He said, I've got a staff. See, God's not looking at what you don't have. God is looking at what you do have. What you have plus God is enough. Did you hear me? What you have plus God is enough. His grace makes the difference. Moses had a staff. David had a slingshot. Can God kill a giant with a slingshot? He can if he has a David. Shema, one of David's mighty men, took on the Philistines with nothing but a rake, and he defeated the whole army with a rake. Can God defeat an army with a rake? He can if he has a Shema that's ready to stand. Samson had the jawbone of a donkey. Can God kill 1,000 enemy with the jawbone of a donkey? He can if he has a Samson. Shamgar defeated 600 men with an ox goad. What do you have? What do you have? Let me tell you what you have. You have your testimony. We have the blood of Jesus Christ and our testimony. What God has done for us. You may say, well, I don't have a testimony. You can borrow one. Let me tell you what God did for my friend. Let me tell you what God did for my brother. Let me tell you what he did for my mother, what he did for my father. You can borrow somebody else's testimony, and you can build your own testimony, and you can see what God wants to do in your life. Quit telling God why he can't use you. Look at what you have that God can use. And then thirdly, change your story. Most of you are familiar with Gideon. Gideon had a story. I think he had rehearsed his story over and over and over again. When the angel of the Lord showed up to visit Gideon, he told the angel of the Lord his story. I'm the poorest of the poor. Our family is the poorest in the tribe. I'm the youngest and I'm the poorest in our family. He had this narrative about his insignificance. He had this narrative about his woundedness. He had this narrative about victimization. If you want to make a transition from status quo, change your story. Are you hearing me this morning? Quit telling the same story over and over. Quit being a victim over and over. God's got a new story for you. This little song came into my mind last night. Used to sing it when I was a little kid in church in our Sunday school class. And the story, the lyrics went like this. Let me tell you the best thing I ever did do. I took off the old robe and put on the new. The old robe was dirty, all tattered and torn, but the new robe was spotless, had never been worn. Let me tell you, God's got a robe of righteousness for you. He's got a new robe for you today. Quit talking about the old one. Start talking about the new one. The new one is, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. The new story is, all things are possible to them that believe in him. The new story is, he will do more than you can imagine or even think of. All things are possible. Can you just give him a great big praise offering this morning? And then focus on how God has used you in the past. We know the story of David when he's facing Goliath. He told the story of the lion and the bear. Let me tell you what God has done for me in the past. He delivered the lion and he delivered the bear, and he'll deliver this giant. Let me tell you, God has kept you. You're still here. You're here today. God has kept you. He has given you provision. You're still here. You're still breathing. Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. He brought me out of an aquarium into the deep blue sea, and I'm living the richest experience of my life because of who God is and what God is doing. You can rejoice in the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Worship Nation, if you'll come on out, we'll get to the end of this. See, God, we know this, but I've just got to tell you this right here, right now. God is not looking for your talent. He's not even impressed with your talent. He's not impressed with your skill set. He's not impressed with your educational level. None of those things are bad. They're just not what impresses God. It's in Isaiah chapter 6 that we find out what impresses God. Isaiah gets a new revelation. This was an accelerated transition. The king had died. The beloved king had died. People didn't know what they were going to do. And Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He got a new revelation. Status quo was gone, and there was a new revelation. In the new revelation, Isaiah cried out. He said, I am a man of unclean lips. In other words, I'm unworthy. God took care of that real quick. He sent an angel to an altar of fire with tongs, got a coal of fire, placed them on Isaiah's lips, and Isaiah changed his story. You see, one touch of God can change your story. He went from, I'm not suited, to the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. Would you stand to your feet with me right now? Father, come to you, thanking you for your love and your grace and your mercy. Altar team, would you come forward? Prayer team. You may feel like I did. You're lost, wondering what's next. Or maybe you're still stuck in the status quo and you're wanting to step out of it. But you're afraid to take the leap. Let me just challenge you. It's going to be one of the richest experiences of your life. It's scary, but it's doable. You may think you're giving up a lot, but what you're going to gain far exceeds what you've given up. If you've been telling God why he can't use you, let's do a quick transition and say, God, I'm ready for you to use me. I'm ready for you to redeem me. I'm ready for you to forgive my sins. I'm ready to step out of my past and step into my future. If you need prayer this morning for anything, if you need prayer this morning for anything, I challenge you to come and join with a prayer partner and let them minister to you this morning in the word of the Lord. Father, we just thank you right now.